साधिनानैकभवेन यत्पदम् विदूषनन्दाय ऊर्ध्वरे तसः मासैरहं सद्भिर्मुष्य पादयो छायम् उपेत्यापगता पृष्ठन्मति ध्रुवो वाच four brahmachari headed by Sanandana.
The four brahmachari headed by Sanandana.
Urdhvaretasa. Infallible celibate or celibates.
Infallible celibates.
Masai.
Within months.
Aham. I. Sadvi.
Six.
Amushya.
Of him.
Padaya.
Of the lotus feet.
Chayam.
Shelter.
Upetya.
Achieving.
Apagataha.
Fell down.
Prithakmati. My mind fixed on the things other than the Lord. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Translation. Dhruva Maharaj thought to himself, to endeavor to be situated in the shade of the lotus feet of the Lord is not an ordinary task, because even the great brahmacharis headed by Sanandana, who practice Ashtanga Yoga in trance, attain the shelter of the Lord's lotus feet only after many, many births. Within 6 months, I achieve the same result. Yet, due to my thinking differently from the Lord, I fell down from my position. Please repeat the translation. Dhruva Maharaj thought to himself, to endeavor to be situated in the shade of the lotus feet of the Lord.
To endeavor to be situated in the shade of the lotus feet of the Lord
is not an ordinary task. Because even the great brahmacharis
headed by Sanandana,
who practice Ashtanga Yoga in trance, attain the shelter of the Lord, achieve the same result. Yet, due to my thinking differently
from the Lord,
I fell down from my position.
Purport.
In this verse, Dhruva Maharaj himself explains the cause of his moroseness. First, he laments that to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead directly is not easy. Even the great saintly personalities like four elevated brahmacharis headed by Sanandana, Sanaka, Sanatana and Sanat Kumar practice the yoga system for many, many births and remain in trance before getting the opportunity to see the Supreme Lord face to face. As far as Dhruva Maharaj was concerned, he saw the Supreme Personality after only 6 months of practice in the devotional service. He expected, therefore, that as soon as he met the Supreme Lord, the Lord would take him to his abode immediately, without waiting. Dhruva Maharaj could understand very clearly that the Lord had offered him to rule the world for 36,000 years. Because in the beginning, he was under the spell of material energy and wanted to take revenge against his stepmother and rule over the father's kingdom. Dhruva Maharaj greatly lamented his propensity for ruling the material world and his revengeful attitude towards the living entities. Om Jnanatimiram Tasya Jnanandana Salakaya Chakshurun Militan Mena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadavayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Uta Padikamlam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamsa Sri Rupam Sahajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Valita Sri Visakam Vitamsa He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Vandu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanusute Devi Pranamami Hari Priya Vancha Kalpataru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Vevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Dhruva Uvacha, Samadhina Naika Bhavena, Yat Padam, Vidhu Sanandaya, Urdhretasa, Maseram Sadhir Mushapadayo, Chayam Upaitya Pavata Pratakmatihi. Dhruva has thought to himself to endeavor to be situated in this state of the lotus feet of the Lord is not an ordinary task, because even the great brahmachari headed by Brahma Sanandana, who practiced Ashtanga Yoga in trance, attained the shelter of the Lord's lotus feet only after many, many births. Within 6 months I achieved the same result, yet due to my thinking differently from the Lord, I fell down from my feet. So here, in this section of Bhagavatam, Dhruva Maharaj had just darshan of the Lord after practicing his the penances, the very severe penances he performed. And the Lord was kind and had a darshan of the Lord. He came and gave darshan to Dhruva Maharaj. And he offered many beautiful prayers glorifying the Lord. And and still here in this verse, we are seeing the Dhruva Maharaj's moroseness. we have some kids who are similar age of Dhruva Maharaj. How old was Dhruva Maharaj when he was doing tapasya? Five, yeah. So, if I think Krishna is there, hey Griva, you're hiding behind. If I just got a question for you, for small kids, okay? If a Prime Minister of Australia, do you know what Prime Minister is? Yeah. Prime Minister is a big man. He can give you anything you want. Yeah. Now he came and asked you. So you can ask whatever you like. What would you ask? Krishna? Ah, I don't think so. He will offer Krishna to you. But something that you like. Something, a lot of money maybe? Or a lot of... Remote airplane, that's it. Yeah, that would be nice, no? You just fly a remote airplane? Yeah. How about you, Krishna?
Yeah,
Remote control car.
That's it.
Interesting. Yeah. So Dhruva Maharaj is 5 years old. Now, let's compare Dhruva Maharaj's desire and your desire. When he was 5 years old, what did he want? What was his purpose of going into a forest and doing a tapasya? Kingdom greater than Brahma. You know who Brahma is? He's in charge of the whole universe. Yeah. So he wanted a kingdom that is greater than Brahma. Brahma is his great-great-grandfather. So he wanted a kingdom even greater than Brahma's. So that means, in other words, that's the better than the universe, this universe. He wanted something very best. What else he wanted? So, because that was one of the main desire he had. So when Lord came, so what did he receive? What did he achieve? He achieved, Lord granted him the Dhruva planet, Dhruva Loka, which is the planet which is above Lord Brahma's, even greater. In fact, it is a spiritual planet. Even at the dissolution of Brahma, dissolution or the pralaya, that planet remains. Everything else is destroyed, that planet still remains. So, such a great planet is received. What else? And he is able to rule for how long? 36,000 years as a king. He will rule the whole planet, whole, I think, the universe. That for 36,000 years. So that's a very long time. And to rule, what else he received? He received the boon that his body will not get old. His senses will be fresh as ever. Huh? And he also, of course, because he had he felt insulted by his stepmother, by the providence arrangement that mother and his brother would be in the they would face a very not so pleasant death, and also he had darshan of Lord Vishnu, yeah, and what he also had the blessings from Lord Vishnu by the touch of his conch. So as soon as the Lord touched the Dhruva Maharaj, he was able to receive that knowledge, the conclusion of the whole Vedas for himself. So that was one of the benedictions he received. And at the end, Lord also gave him a benediction, saying, at the end, you will remember me. When you finish for 36 now, when you're gonna die, at that time you'll remember me. What does Krishna say in Bhagavad Gita? That for the as we remember, our goal is to remember the Lord at the time of death. Ante Narayana Smriti, yes. So the goal of the devotee is to remember the Lord at the time of death. So the Dhruva Maharaj has been, Lord has directly given the benediction saying, you will remember me. What a great benediction. So see, we compare the desires of our 5 years and Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj is very smart, isn't he? Very smart, isn't he? Yeah, he wanted so big and so much. So, And pity that most of us, or in the material world, those who are in distress or those who are in things, what do we desire? Sukha sampati ghar aave kasta mite tanka. Om jai Jagadish sare. Yeah? Very thing, what do we want? The pity things. We want sukh, some like happiness. Dhan, wealth, little bit. How much? $1 million?
No old age.
Huh?
No old age.
No old age. Yeah. Very, very pity what we desire in comparison to the Dhurmaras, in fact. I think just yesterday Chandrapallavi Mata was mentioning that the lady who was carrying a big bundle of wood on the head, somehow the bundle of wood fell down. And so sincerely she prayed to the Lord, and Lord appeared. And what did she ask? To pick up that wood pile and put it back on the head. What a pity ask. Here is the Supreme Lord who owns the whole three universe, universes. Yeah? Our ask is just very pity, very small, very foolish. Hmm? So, here Dhruva Maharaj is comparing that how fortunate he is, how the four Kumaras, who are such a great exalted personalities, they are the direct sons of Lord Brahma. They are actually, in fact, the first created human beings. They were able to see the Lord face to face after many, many, many births. Whereas, in comparison, Dhruva Maharaj was only able to see the Lord here 6 months, within 6 months. So he's, in a way he's feeling the achievement, he's feeling proud. But even though he had a darshan of the Lord, he's here being morose, he's being repentant. Wow, what I have asked for. I have asked for he compares a piece of broken glass, where I could have, there would be a more value than that. All these things he's received, he's got his, what is he comparing to? A broken glass, just an insignificant broken glass. We were in London, and we were at a museum in London, and we know from our little class, in the school days, we were taught that there is a very valuable diamond called Kohinoor. Yeah. Kohinoor, yeah. I think it's one of the biggest, and that Kohinoor crown was actually brought from India. And when the queen was coronated, and that crown made was studded with that diamond, Kohinoor. So I said, okay, we were tourists there, we went to visit this museum where they had this Kohinoor crown, the diamond was kept. So so we saw a lot of exhibitions of the old past rulers of the Britain, and the opulence, weapons and the horses, type of horses they used, So we were, we knew that the Kohinoor this diamond was kept in there. So we went there, and after seeing all the different exhibition, and we got to this section where this crown was kept, and we were just talking, okay, we were very curious and we wanted to see what this great grand diamond was. It was such a big talk, such a, you know, this valuable thing. So we saw the historically, whoever the I think from 300-400 years back, all the kings, all the crowns of their coronation was kept one after another. So we saw this King Joe so-and-so had got a beautiful crown, studded with the diamonds and everything. So we got to the whole, there's about 10 or so, 10 crowns we went through. So the last was the Kohinoor. So after seeing, you know, there's all the diamonds and everything on the crown, when we got to the Kohinoor, we were so excited about how it would be. We were thinking, oh, it's going to be something different. But it was just a piece of shining glass. It was that size of that much. Basically it was. And of course it's a value of millions of dollars. But in terms of physical, in terms of size, in terms of just signing something very, and for me, it was, I mean, just, I wouldn't recognize, if you were to give me a Kohinoor diamond and the signing glass, if you give me, I wouldn't be able to tell the difference. It was very insignificant. Very. The point I'm making is, it's such a valuable, but very insignificant. So, Dharmaraj is comparing, it's like, whole thing what is received is just a piece of a broken glass, useless. And so our acharyas gives another comparison. He says, you're going to the very rich person, a very rich man, and asking for a dry husk, a grass. It is a comparison that acharyas make, that Dhruva Maharaj's desire was like similar to the asking a very rich man some grass, or going to a Bill Gates and asking for just $1 coin or something like that. It is like that compared. And so what are Dhruva Maharaj's, is also another point Dhruva Maharaj is repenting, that he saw the Lord, he got purified, he was able to know the whole conclusion of Vedas, yet he had to stay back and rule for 36,000 years. He was repenting that. Why did I desire that? Acharya said that he could go back. But because he had this desire to rule over, have a revengeful, so therefore he had to stay back. One of the points he was repenting was that he's staying back from and not able to go back with Krishna. So what is he desiring? He was desiring just a mundane kingdom. And he was also, when he initially started, what was his motive? Motive was that he wanted to take revenge. He was revengeful. Against who? His stepmother and his brother. And also somewhat to the father as well, because father didn't do anything. So he wanted to take a revenge for. In this connection, Bhaktirasamrita Maharaj, I heard the lecture by Bhaktirasamrita Maharaj. Now it's a very nice story from Ramayana, that once Mother Sita was approached by Hanuman and different monkeys. And they were exhibiting their sadness that she had to come in the forest and suffer this condition, being able to just be in the forest, exiled into a forest, because of the plan of Kekeyi and others, huh? So they were, Anuman was saying, why, I mean, you should go and take revenge. So why, and then Mother Sita actually told him a story. She said, there was a man who was in the forest. And he was chased by a tiger. So he ran to the big tree and he climbed up very high and got into a branch. So somewhat he was secured, the tiger couldn't climb. On that same tree, there was a bear also. So the bear was in another branch and the man was in another branch. And the tiger was in the bottom, he's waiting. He waited for the man to come down. And then man didn't come, of course he wouldn't come. Then the tiger noticed there was a bear, so he went to the bear. He said, there's a man there, other side. I'll make a deal. I won't bother you, I won't harass you, but you go and push that man down. Then bear said, really? No. This is against my dharma. Now this man has come to my tree. He's my guest. I will not. That's not my principle. It's my duty to save him. So he's my guest, I won't do that. So eventually they fell asleep. So while they were asleep, actually tiger went to the man and asked, bear is sleeping, you go and push the bear. I'll eat the bear, I won't do any harm to you. The man thought it was a clever deal. So he went and pushed the bear. The bear fell down. Yes, bear did fell down. While he was falling down, he woke up, but he managed to cling onto the branch below. And so he managed, and tiger was watching from the bottom, seeing the whole scene. And tiger went to the bear. You see, you are protecting this man. You said you're your guest. Now look what he did to you. So you're being a political. And then bear said, still he's my guest. Whatever is done. Past. He's pushed me already. I'm already down. Now it would be my foolishness to go back and take revenge. Because it's done. He pushed me. I got pinned down. I saved myself. It's done. That cannot be undo. So therefore, so the moral of the story is that the devotee, it's forgiveness is the greatest. For the devotee, the forgiveness is the greatest asset, quality we have. So Mother Sita said, we should not be going back to Ayodhya and think that we're going to be taking revenge. That was the point she was making to Hanuman and the monkeys who were asking. So the forgiveness is the asset the devotee have, the quality of the devotee. Whatever is done is in the past, is done, it's finished. You can't undo it. And we also take shelter of ego, a revengeful attitude, material opulences. Rather, we should be taking the shelter of the Lord, not to the shelter of this ego, and then we want to take the revenge. So moment we leave these attitudes, the revengeful attitude, the ego, the wanting for so many material respect and so honor and so on and so forth, the moment we leave, we feel relieved of all that we had. He said, our Acharya explained that it's gone. You feel relieved. all that burden you're carrying, and it'll be gone. Just to forgive and forget. And also another the point Dhruva Maharaj was, it's Srila Prabhupada yesterday's purport, Srila Prabhupada compared a Dhruva Maharaj as like a similar to a scientist. And he said, the Prabhupada, this is the quote from yesterday's purport. Prabhupada says, sense gratification means domination over material nature. The whole competition between conditioned soul is based upon domination of this material nature. Modern scientists are proud of their knowledge because they are discovering new method to dominate the law of material nature. They think that this is the advancement of human civilization. More they dominate the material nature, more advanced they are. This is their thinking. This is the scientists' thinking. So they want to discover. They want to make controlled the material nature. They make all the arrangements, you know, to get away from the nature's heat, cold, so on and so forth. All the arrangements, and they want to get more and more opulence. It's all on this sense pleasures. They want to enjoy the senses. So Prabhupada says, Dhruva Maharaj's propensity in the beginning was like that. So, in third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Kapila Dev, Lord Kapila Dev in chapter 29, explained four kinds of devotional service. Does anyone remember? We just did recently third canto. There's four types of devotional service that can be performed. Three are in three gunas. Rajaguna, tamogun, mode of ignorance. Rajagun and sattvagun. So this is the three. So Kapila Dev explains the devotional service executed by a person who is envious, proud, violent, I want my desire, I want my enjoy my senses, and those who are separatists, and to be considered as it's in the mode of the devotional service in the mode of ignorance. And the mode of passion, the worship of the devis in the temple by a separatist, with the motive of material enjoyment. Fame and opulence, it's in the mode of passion. So what did Dhruva Maharaj have? He was initially, when he started the devotional service, he started this motive. He wanted opulence, he wanted a kingdom, and he wanted to enjoy, and he wanted to show his father and stepmother how great he was. So the comparison is made that when he started the devotional service, it was in the mode of passion. Kapila Dev further explains the devotional service in the mode of goodness. What does he offer? The results of all his services, activities, he offers to the Lord. That is in the mode of goodness. Devotion service in the mode of goodness, that he offers his results to the Lord. This still in the, even in the mode of goodness, that is still in the, comes under the varnashram, or it's in the, it's not shuddha, it's not pure devotion service. Still there is a material tinge. Even though you're offering everything to the Lord. So Lord Kapiladev gives the fourth one. Shuddha Sattva, yes. And so there's a text, chapter 29, third canto, text number 12. Lord Kapiladev says, Mat guna struti matrena. Just by hearing that the desire or the attraction for hearing, mat guna means my qualities, struti matrena, wanting to hear, the desire to hear, mai sarva uhasaya, means the seeing all living entity, the Lord, within the heart of seeing the Lord within the heart of all living entities, and how he performs his devotional service. He gives a comparison of Mother Ganga. Mother Ganga flows into a river, into an ocean, without any hindrances. She just flows. It's just such a spontaneous water just gushes into it. So it compares the ocean is compared to the Lord's lotus feet, and Ganga is compared to our devotional activities, services. This is Shuddha, this is the pure, beyond these three modes, the fourth one, the fourth devotional service. The devotional service that we do, every activities, may it be a chanting, may it be a cooking, may it be a dressing of the deities, that is whole activities offered to the Lord. It's for the pleasure of the Lord. It's the full, that is called that's the highest. Devotion. This is what Kapiladev says. This offering is the highest. It should be a haituki, causeless, not wanting in something in return, and a pratihata, uninterrupted, means a constant doing a devotional service continuously, non-stop. So that is what's the highest of the devotional service. Mat guna sruti matrena mai sarva vyasaya mano gatir vichara tatha ganga ambuso ambusa ambuda ambudo. Means that our devotional service should be such that as Ganga flows into the ocean, such a pure flow, our devotional service is same, similar. That is highest. So the activities like chanting, singing, remembering the Lord, serving, they should be all offered to the Lord. At the point of a remembering Lord at the time of death, King Kulasekara prays that, please let me remember you while I am able to. At the time of death, at the time of old age, what is the condition of my body? The condition of the body is frail. Our senses are not strong anymore. We barely able to can walk, and he says that it will go to the point of the holes of body. I will not even be able to remember you. I will not be able to utter your name because my body and my everything will be the mucus and everything, all that contamination will come into my throat and block me. How can I remember you then? Let me remember while I can, while I'm young. So the devotion service, King Kulasekara says, should be performed as young, indeed. Not as we've been told in it's common saying in India, that bhakti is for old age. No. Here the Kapiladev and then our acharyas. So here, the Dhruvamaharaj is repenting. What a pity desire I had. What I could achieve, what I could do, is useless. So therefore his Dhruvamaharaj is repenting himself, saying, wow, what a use. So word Dhruvamaharaj in this text uses prithak mati. Prithak mati means, the prithak means separate. Mati means intelligence or desire. What a stupid desire I had. It is, my desire is completely separate from the Lord. Lord teaches in the Vedas that we should be serving Him, we should be coming back home, back to Godhead. Instead, my desire is to rule over, be a great king, be powerful. What a stupid. And the, in same in the Lord Kapila Dev also compares this same similar word. He says prithak bhava. In the devotional service in the mode of passion, he compares this same word, prithak bhava, means the separatist. As I mentioned, the word separatist in Sanskrit is prithak bhava, means separate. The desire is different from Lord's desire, that is called prithak bhava. So, so in conclusion, that we should be very careful what we desire. If we have a desire, if we desire that we want to have so many things, material opulence, you may be more, you may be stuck here more longer than you wanted to. Our desire should be that we want to return back home, back to God as soon as possible. Not after, I will do this, and I want to do this, and I will... Acharyas and Prabhupada said, finish it now. This time. This life, done. Get it done, over. So whatever we desire, we should be very careful. Because Dhruvamaharaj desired when he started. Yes, our Bhagavatam says that akama sarvakama. Even you have no desire, even you have a great desire, all desires, sarvakama, you still surrender to the Lord. Yes, I mean, of course, we are conditioned soul. We do have a desire. We can have a desire. But we should, as much as possible, we should try to have a same desire as the Lord. Aim to go to the desires Lord. So I will end here. Ask for any questions or comments from any of the devotees. Yes, Prabhuji.
Thank you. You mentioned about in the devotional service in the mode of goodness. There's a tinge, even though you're offering the results of your activities to the Lord and my goodness, there's still a tinge. What is the tinge?
The tinge is, as I understand, a person is in the mode of goodness. Goodness is, it still is not as flow. He's doing some activities. He's still worshipping the Lord and everything. It's not as pure as is completely surrender. It's like our acharyas, our Goswamis, for example. They are all completely the same person, devotees. Whereas in like Dhruvamaharaj, he is a devotee, became a devotee, and then because of that tingeness, it's not 100%. That tinge, actually, I'm also 100% sure I had a similar thought when I was about the tinge. But because you're still in the mode of goodness, moral goodness is a material. It's element. It's not pure. It's not above the material elements. Because it's being a material element, there is a tinge of material elements. That's what I understand. Because yeah. So our aim is to become a Suddha Sattva, arise Nirguna, or be mode, beyond the modes. Our devotional service will be beyond the mode. That's the aim. I mean, what Madhvi's point is that the devotion service which is in the Suddha Sattva, even if they are like acharyas, even if they are in the material world, for them, what does it matter? They are beyond these modes, even though they are in the material world, they are not affected by this. So their whole consciousness is purely on the Suddha Sattva. So that's my understanding.
Also, you're saying how there's no point of revenge in your example of the beer. Because it's already done, and what it's already done, it's already done against you. What's the point of getting upset about it? So the same thing, what about repentance? Is there any use? Because you're already stuffed up, you already made a mistake. You know, so is there any point lamenting about it? That I stuffed up like a person thinking in that lamenting way, is there any value of their repentance also?
There is no value. I mean, repenting or morosing, lamenting or going over and just thinking doesn't have value. Because, I mean, it's good to repent in the sense, okay, so okay, I've done that, then from there you learn the lesson and move on, rather than going into, going back and try to take revenge or try to analyze and try to justify or trying to do harm or cause on the platform of ego, then there's no use. Because what is done is done. Can't be undone. You can go and justify, you can try to do something, but it doesn't have a greater value. The value is that you learn from it and then don't try to make similar mistake or try not to make the same mistake and then move on and try to find a better, positive, more effective activity than just to go on the limit on the what's been done. That's my understanding. Yeah. That's my thing. It's like Mataji made a point that reflecting on what has been done and learn from it and try to not make the same mistake and then improve, make it better, it's a good thing. That should be there. Just lamenting and just not doing anything or just being morose, that is, doesn't have value.
Respecting to the previous question, I remember a lecture from my colleague.
mentioned that the sattva you complete 100%, your offering, your activities, everything is just for the Lord, very pleasant. Whereas in the goodness or something you're doing out of duty, out of you are in the burnout, you are also. So therefore, it's, yes, there is a certain difference, but of course it's high. It's better than what good ignorance and passion. Goodness is the platform to go to Shuddha Sattva. So yeah.
So,
One is to learn from it and then move on. Another one is to just be morose and try to take revenge. So there's a difference of those. Yeah. Thank you. Any other points? Okay. Kandrasya Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gopinath.